Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we're going to talk about the werewolf, serial killer Mikhail Puckoff. What the hell is that?
Perfect.
Mikhail Puckoff is a Russian serial killer. He was also a police officer who is believed to have been responsible for over 80 murders in Russia, in Siberia, actually. Which, Colonel, if you live in Siberia, do you really care if you murdered, really?
Well, and how did he find 80 people in Siberia?
Well,
80 people walking the streets, that'd be a tough one to... being a werewolf, why would you want to be in Siberia?
Well,
I mean, you got all these temperate places. I mean, you could go down to Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia,
the Black Sea.
Any kind of place. The Black Sea, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, just places, Greece. I mean, places that don't get a lot of snow. And you know, if you're a werewolf, you can live anywhere. What does it matter?
Oh, my God.
But Siberia, he must have been, you know what must have happened to me? He must have been an outcast werewolf, where they just sent him off to Siberia.
Nothing worse, Brandy, than an outcast werewolf.
Well, and...
Yeah, I mean...
First of all...
The werewolf union just got tired of him and said, you know, get out of here. Get up to Siberia.
You're fucking jackass.
Well,
the thing. What are you policing in Siberia?
Well, they got a lot of crime over there. Apparently they got serial killers running around.
If you're a police officer, is that like when they're like, we know you fucked this up, so we're going to go ahead and assign you to another post.
Oh, you think if you're a serial killer, they put him on desk duty?
Maybe while they investigate. Sure.
Now this, you know, we hear a lot in the news about police reform, Timmy.
Oh, good, we're going to do this.
And I believe when you got a policeman turning into a werewolf and killing people, I believe that's a That's a good argument.
That's taking reform.
That's something that needs to be reformed, Timmy. Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, we're gonna talk about the Mikhail Puckoff and his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language, and if adult language offends you, then what we would suggest that you do is
fuck off.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah, just go get... We're tired of you people. We're tired of your righteousness, your self-righteousness, because we know you're living sinful lives and you're judging us for the way we talk.
Wow.
How about you go look in the mirror and see if you can look yourself in the eye and say, am I better than those people? And probably you can say yes with an honest heart, but... Well, I'm not really sure what
exactly
point I was making that.
So Chuck's on time today, so now all of a sudden he is just fucking Gabby Magoo here.
Well, I mean, and, I'm glad you bring that up, Brandy, because the Colonel and I would like to talk to you about your professionalism, because again today you were late. We were supposed to record at 10 o'clock. You were not here. And we're concerned about you. We're concerned that you're not giving this podcast the energy. You're not Colonel, when we podcast, oh, it's like we're making love to the audience. Don't you think so?
Ugh. One by one, Timmy. Ooh. 10,000 listeners, it's like we're just embracing them.
Oh, my God.
Embracing them and providing warmth and, you know, we might be a little gropey with them, but yeah, we look at our audience we are servants to our audience, except for the devil.
Well, oh, my God.
The devil thinks, how many times have you heard in just our private conversations, you know, Timmy? Well, we're talking about our audience and saying, you know, the listeners, all the time. Blah, blah, blah. And the devil just says, I'll fuck them.
They're losers. That's what she said.
Yeah, they're losers. If they had any good sense, they wouldn't be listening to this podcast. I mean, it's just a bad way to.
Well,
it's just a bad way to do
when
business.
You and I, Colonel, when we're podcasting, like I said, we make love to the audience.
Oh my God, stop it.
Now, we make love. Like we're reading a book. Like we got the Colonel's book and we opened it up and we're page 217 and we say, get ready, audience. Here comes.
And Brandy.
Here comes, audience.
And Brandy, by contrast, she's like the hooker who strolls like a hooker. in with a fifth in one hand, cigarette in the other, flops down on the bed. And says, get on with it. You know what I mean? Don't you get that sense?
Climb on
first
board.
Of all,
you ready?
First of all, my Saturday night is none of your business.
Come on, sweetie. Get on board.
Yeah. My Saturday night is none of your business.
You're
going
to have to get it hard yourself. I'm just going to lay
second of all, I was like 4 minutes late. I had to take the dog
get
out.
Get it hard on both. Your time. Not on
mine. Oh, my
mine.
God. I don't sound like that.
Well, they got a case of whiskey dick there. Now, come on. I get paid one way or another. Whiskey I don't dick. Care.
Can you hand me? Can you hand me that ashtray, sweetie?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
But we're glad you showed up. I guess that's the one good thing that we can say. Well, I don't know how our audience feels about that, but we're glad. The Colonel and I.
She actually got fans out there.
I am a fan
favorite.
For the life
of me, I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out, and that really shows the quality of our listeners, but. Which shows even more, Timmy, really.
Yes.
The sacrifice we make by making love to our
stop
audience,
it.
Timmy.
It drains us, Colonel. I know when we're done podcasting, you probably feel like I do. You have to you back basically collapse, and because that's because
I had to have Bo help me up the steps just to get out of bed.
And that's because we give it everything we have. And
110%.
Brandy just sits there drinking her whiskey, smoking her cigars,
smoking her cigarettes. Yeah, yelling at the dog, yelling at Noah. Speaking of the dog, we haven't heard the dog with the squeaky toy. Where's it at?
Well, she's napping right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's napping. She's had a rough morning. And
how is Lucy?
Lucy's good. She's good. I took her for a spa day Friday, and she very much enjoyed that. And now she smells good. So she's wonderful.
We would love to have her on the podcast sometime.
She's my favorite.
She's on the podcast every week.
Right, I know. And there's really nothing I can do about it. Like, I tried to get her squeaker toys that didn't squeak as loud, and she eviscerated them. So I looked over and there was...
That's what they're supposed to do with.
No. So like I got her, you know, those Kong toys like that are supposed to be sort of indestructible. So I got her a couple of those and they're not as loud. And, you know, I got her a little alligator and another little thing and they're not as loud. And I'm like, okay, so she can play with these and then, you know, she'll do that. And then I'll take the really loud squeaker toys that she's just killed and toss them. Well, I look over and she's got this fucking Kong toy just shredded. Just fucking shit everywhere.
See, that's bullshit. You know, PetSmart told us, because they say if your dog can tear up the Kong toy, you can return it for a new one.
They're liars.
After about three of them, the pet store told us, you know what, you have a dog that, you know, Rudy's half German Shepherd, so he's got the canines and he can tear shit up. They told us that we was exempt from that. We could no longer return Kong toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a Rudy, that's some bullshit Rudy right rule. There.
Yeah, there is the Rudy rule at PetSmart now.
There's all right. No reason that my little bitty dog should be able to do that, but that's okay.
All right, let me introduce our panel. I am very pleased to introduce. Well, you know, we lost one member of the royal family this week, and so we want to pay homage to the royals, and no other better way to do that, Colonel, than to introduce our first panelist, all the way from Loveland, Ohio.
Not even. But
Lebanon,
okay.
Ohio, Timmy. Lebanon,
but
I was, Ohio.
But that's fine. Give away my location, sure.
What doxing you, devil? What doxing
I
you?
I see that.
Really? Is there a big difference between the two? The
yes.
Very. Yes. A lady who's known
a big difference.
Throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. How do you think she got that name, Colonel?
You gave it to me.
I think if you compare her to, say, Stalin, maybe she's a little bit more benevolent. And I think we was talking about Stalin that day, actually, Timmy. And we said, you know, he make the devil look benevolent by comparison.
You are so
how fucked up
Gabby
is that?
Today.
And then,
you
know, then the name.
She used to be.
Brandy the Benevolent stuff.
She used to be pill popping, penis loving. Remember that? The good old days.
Yeah, but then she got the menopause or whatever she
oh
got.
Oh, my God.
It's only
what
the pill popping
fuck?
Now.
Fuck. You are so Gabby.
Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, fuck you both. I'm okay. I'm all right.
I just gave you a very nice introduction.
Did yeah, I noticed that. It was amazing. So, but anyway, I'm good. Working. Trying to, you know, keep everything afloat until school's out and summer hits, and then we've got a whole other shit storm to deal with. So,
well,
that's it.
Say today's the topic of our podcast today is, of course, Mikhail Popkov, the werewolf.
Popkov.
Whatever. The werewolf. Okay. Serial killer. And we got this suggestion from your son. How old is young Noah?
Young Noah is 9, and he gave me this suggestion. And what, he was...
That's just goddamn disturbing to me. But
the whole thing
ahead.
Is just kind of weird. So I don't know. You know, there are very few things that I actually will watch on YouTube. And Noah is like obsessed with YouTube. Like he watches people play video games. I mean, the little shit I think has his own channel because I get newsletters about it. You know, he... But anyway, one of the people that he likes to
Noah
watch...
Noah probably got $300,000
you know that's
in the bank.
He probably does.
From
Brandy, have you ever...
His YouTube video.
He's probably got Bitcoin, you know, stored away somewhere.
You know what they, have on there on YouTube, Devil?
Everything. What?
Parental controls. Parental controls,
yeah,
Devil.
These are under parental controls. So...
Oh, because they're cartoons.
Yeah. So the guy that does it, and it's really not bad... The guy that does it is, he talks about all kinds of different things. He talks about, you know, wars, and he talks about, you know, global events, and he talks about just a ton of different shit. But he was talking about serial killers one day, and there's all this animation that goes with it, like really crude animation. Not crude, but just basic animation that goes along with this. And
digging ditches. Hacking people in pieces.
Yeah, but it's all animated, so it's fine.
Yeah,
and so
no different than Wile E. Coyote having a safe dropped on him. Really.
That's what I'm saying. So he, but he was watching this, and he said, "Mom, have you ever heard of this guy?" And I really hadn't, and so I suggested it to Tim, and so that's how we came to this particular subject matter today.
Brandy, when you were watching, you say you occasionally watch YouTube channels. Have you ever watched our YouTube channel?
Well, no, because we don't have one. Why is that?
What?
We cannot have one. I have looked into this further, and because of language constraints.
No, that's
YouTube
bullshit.
Has enforced, so we can put it on there,
mm-hmm.
but they can take it off anytime they want.
Okay,
if they deem it inappropriate, and I can't imagine that anybody would listen to you for more than 10 minutes without deeming it inappropriate and really a poison to society.
Hey, Timmy, I'll have Noah look into it. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do all that stuff.
Well,
I'll have him look into it.
I think that'd be a good idea. Maybe he can get it together. But anyway.
It's about communing. Now, these are words I know that you're not all that familiar with other than when the police have been talking to you about them. But you have ignored them. Two important words, community standards, devil.
Well, and I love that you bring
now,
that up.
Me and Timmy were doing the podcast. We could meet them.
No.
But by adding a third,
you
we have lost
so
the ability to meet community.
Gabby today. First of all,
I woke up at 9 o'clock and I'm on Coke Zero number two, devil.
Well,
I could do this all day.
You know what? I'm on cup of coffee number three. But let me tell you something. You want to talk about community standards when you are the person that walks around talking about people getting a good wienering.
Wiener to death.
Well, everybody need a good wienering now.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I feel like you telling me about community standards is just not a role that you need to play. But anyway, so that's it.
Well, thank you,
and
Noah.
I'm super excited about this.
Hopefully you don't let Noah listen to this podcast.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, thank him for us for the suggestion.
I will let him know.
Thank you, Noah.
I'm sure he'll come up with something else for us to look at.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well.
We're 8 minutes into Brandy time.
I don't feel like we really are when Chuck has talked through most of Brandy time because he cannot shut his fucking cock holster for 30 seconds. In order for us to get through anything. So please introduce Chuck so we can hear all about how he's not doing well and the dog barked at the neighbor and that turns into a 10-minute story. Please do that so we can move forward.
Let me introduce the man who really needs no introduction, Brandy. Yeah, you know, we're living through a pandemic. These are very troubled times and people are looking for they're looking for some hope, and they turn. A lot of people have turned to the Colonel in these.
They have not
these difficult times. He has been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
He is a best-selling author. His best-selling book, "How to Make Love to a Woman," is number 4 on the New York Times bestsellers list.
It's not.
And he is loved by many, envied by all.
No.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I couldn't be better, Timmy.
No, for fact's sake.
I couldn't be better. Well, as you know, I got my second shot.
Yes.
And I'm 10 days out from my second shot. When they say that you're pretty much as protected as you're going to get. So I get to be one of those people that look at other people. And when they're talking about COVID, I say, COVID, what are you talking about, COVID? I don't care about COVID. You might care about COVID. I don't care about COVID.
So and you feel free to do whatever you want now, is what you're saying.
Well, I still wear a mask, Timmy, but now I get to be one of those people who wear the mask under their chin, you know, with the nose hanging out and the top lip hanging out.
Yeah, kind of.
And I get to be one of those people now, Timmy.
It kind of defeats the whole purpose of a mask, doesn't it?
It completely does. And I walk through the store and my glasses ain't fogging up. I got my nose out my mask. And
it's like wearing a condom on your balls.
It really is. And,
you know, it's the second week is when you run the risk of the blood clots, Colonel. And I'm sure that won't happen to you. But if you...
No.
If you start feeling a little pain somewhere throughout your body, that might be it. So if you're not here next week, Brandy and I will.
Well, he sounds really thirsty if he's already on like his second Coke Zero or whatever it is. I mean, that's a problem.
He realized he sounds pale,
don't you think?
In so many ways, pale. Timmy. In so many ways. Well, this is just being vaccinated both times. It's just another way that makes me superior to other people, Timmy.
Timmy's?
I mean, I already felt like...
Timmy's got his second shot, didn't he?
Yes.
But then COVID was the great equalizer. It could take out anybody. But now I got... Now even COVID, knock on wood, won't touch me. So, I got the dogs. What else? I'm a happy man, Timmy. I'm a happy man.
Dude, I watched a documentary on...
And you know what? Did you hear the devil just go... Because she can't stand that I'm happy, devil. Cannot stand that I'm happy, Timmy.
I watched...
That says more about you than it does me, devil.
Go ahead, Tim. What were you saying?
I watched a documentary on HBO about this cruise ship that was quarantined during COVID. Oh, my God.
I saw that. I've not watched it yet.
Oh, my God. It's a fucking nightmare. I mean, Colonel, you would not have liked it because they were... You're not claustrophobic, are you? But you couldn't, they couldn't leave their cabin. You know, these cabins are tiny. And they were stuck in there on like 70-some days. Oh, it's just a nightmare. Like 14 of them died.
You know, the COVID rate was, aside from the COVID rate, they have not talked about the divorce rate after that after that cruise.
Right.
You put in close quarters with your spouse for any length of time, for 2 weeks in a 8x10 cell, really. It's like being in prison. I mean, one good thing about prison is, you get a break from all that. You know, you get up there and your roommate Smokey or whatever he is, Diablo, who knows, but it's generally an upgrade for most people.
Man. Well, and you have to wonder about all the people that were like in the interior cabins. You know, they're sitting there wishing, God, I wish I had, like, sprung for the balcony or the outside or something.
But, the crew, they're, like, under the water line. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, and, they're stuck in this small cabin, and they've got, like, four or five other, employees stuck with them. And they still had to, like, cook and, of course, there wasn't no activities going on. People couldn't leave their cabins. But, oh, my God, it was a nightmare.
Well, and since we found out, had they just told everybody to go to the top of the deck outdoors with the sunshine and everything, probably far fewer people would have caught the thing, didn't
they? Yeah, it's a nightmare. I would have lost it. All right, so
I'm not surprised. Yeah,
even Julie and Isaac would have had a hard time turning that into a funny show.
Yeah, Gopher would have struggled.
I think Gopher got a lot of tail. I really do.
Oh yeah, they should have called him Beaver.
Oh my God!
Gopher.
Well, you got hot chicks coming in there every week. You got Joni from Happy Days. You got Shirley from Laverne and Shirley. You got Karen Valentine. I mean, you got some real
Karen Valentine to me.
I wrote her a letter when I was like 8. She was on it. It was a TV show called Room 222. You remember that one, Colonel?
I remember that, Timmy.
And I had the biggest crush remember on that. Her. So I sent her a fan letter, and she sent me back a little postcard thing. Very sweet.
Aw.
She's still alive, I think. Last time I looked, she was still alive. She's like 90 now.
Timmy, did you have Farrah Fawcett's bathing suit poster? And
everybody had that.
And I had a t-shirt, too.
I had it.
Do you have the t-shirt?
I did not have the t-shirt, Timmy, but I got
Well, you had to... You had
plenty of miles.
You had to have the poster or the t-shirt or, you get labeled gay, when you're like 50.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, she died of the anal cancer.
She did.
That was terrible.
You got to use...
Yeah, nothing worse than the anal cancer.
Oh, that's
well. The problem is
solid case for lubrication.
Well, when you poop, you don't know what's going to come out. I mean,
oh my God!
Well, hopefully the cancer come out, but
oh my God!
All right, and Colonel, I understand that you've got a new segment on the show that we'll get to later on. You want to tell us a little bit about the segment?
No.
Well, Timmy, we get so much from everybody, Timmy. You know, people listen to us and they support us, and we just felt that it was time to give back, you know, give back. And you know, so we thought, what when I read the Dweebs page, Timmy, mm-hmm. what I see is just train wreck after train wreck, Timmy. And people just need to get their lives in order.
So you think they're looking for a little direction, you would say?
I don't know if they're looking for direction, Timmy. I think most of them are so bad, and we love the people on the Dweebs page, but most of them are so bad they don't even know they need direction,
I would
Timmy.
Just say, when you say we, you're talking about me and you, right?
Right, yeah, right. Because, you know, when you want advice, it's me and you really want to turn to. Because the devil lacks compassion. You know, to give good advice, you have to have empathy, compassion, knowledge of the human spirit, you know, all things
she lacks, basically.
The devil lacks. So we decided that we was going to give life coaching by the Dweebs, Timmy. Just as our way, because the more you know, just as our way of giving back. Because it's important when you reach a certain stature in celebrity, Timmy, that you do this.
So we,
you know, you got Leonardo DiCaprio doing good things, and Matt Damon doing good things, and Chris Brown, he doesn't do so many good things, but so we're gonna be one of the good guys, Timmy.
So we asked. We asked folks on our Facebook group to submit questions, seeking advice on how to handle certain situations in their lives, and we got a response, surprisingly. At the end of the show, we're going to go through those questions and offer our sage advice. I would just warn our listeners that if you this is just our suggestions, our opinions, if you're going to listen to it, we would love for you to take our advice, and we'd love for it to help you out, but we just warn our listeners that in doing so, you might want to discard any suggestions that Brandy might have. So
well, first of all,
and I believe we should put a disclaimer up to me that we are none of us are licensed therapists.
We're barely licensed to drive a car.
Well, that's true.
And Timmy's not.
Timmy's
got a license.
And I am also a doctor, I would say. Remember that.
Yes, you are. Here's the thing. Yeah. In order for us to do this at the end of the show, we have to fucking start the show. So can we fucking started already?
So,
my God.
So if you would like a little guidance in your life, we would suggest that you
find a therapist.
No, we suggest you join our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast, and then you can submit it questions to us through Messenger, and we would be happy to address it in a future podcast. Okay, it sounds like Brandy is being paid by the hour, Colonel, because she...
Yeah, she got a bus.
Y'all act like
I
don't have shit going on. You act like I can just sit
we on take time
all day.
It's when we do a podcast, Colonel
what,
and I...
What do you do, devil? What do you do?
I got shit going on. I got to run to Target and get prescriptions. I've got to sweep. I got to clean my house. I mean, there's just... I got shit happening. I got to feed my kid.
You know,
there's a lot happening.
Here's the difference between
You need to get married, devil.
Here's the difference between you and the Colonel and I. We take time every week to prepare for the podcast, to read it
fuck
over.
Off, you do not.
Mm-hmm. And when we're here we're not 10
out of 100%
100% focus on our audience.
My mind ain't on the trash.
Because we love our audience. If you loved them, Brandy, you would be you would be here with us. But instead,
preach it, Timmy.
Your mind,
preach it.
Her mind's on the whiskey that she's going to drink later. You know,
first of all,
getting high.
Neither one of you are mothers, and so if you were, you may understand my need to, you know. Yes, I want to spend all the time in the world doing this. What I don't want to do is Chuck's bullshit for 3 fucking hours before we get into the story, and then CVS pharmacy is closed and I can't go there, and this is going on and people are asleep upstairs so I can't run the sweeper. So I mean, let's just, you know, I have stuff. Chuck can sit in his basement all day long. He's got no responsibilities in life. His kids are grown. His wife takes care of him. I mean, come on. I don't even know what's going on with you. I can't believe you're not more eager to go take care of your mother like you're supposed to. So, I mean, you know, there's shit happening here.
Timmy
has Dottie well situated, devil. You just don't worry about Dottie.
You don't fucking know Timmy's shit.
No, Dottie's doing well.
She is doing well.
So, yeah. So, Timmy spends most of his time taking care of Dottie, and so he knows that for an hour and a half or whatever, she's gonna be fine because he puts all that work in
and love
up front.
No, first of all, the love. First of
he
all,
not
this
flying
is called
by the seat
an
of his
alibi.
Pants.
This is called an alibi Maybe. For him because he's probably gone in and mopped the kitchen floor, waiting for her, and then he can say, "I don't know what happened. I was doing a podcast when she fell and broke her collarbone."
Mop the kitchen floor with vegetable oil.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go. We're
just asking for 75% of you, devil. Me and Timmy are putting 110% into this. Just give us 75%, devil. Just 75%.
We make love to the audience, Brandy. We make love.
Yeah, make love. Make love do this podcast like you're getting graded on it, devil. If that helps you relate.
No.
We almost made it through. We almost made it to the topic without bringing up her economics professor. But since you have.
No, shoot, that was close. Yeah. Let's go.
All right. Mikhail Popkov. I think that's Mikhail. Mikhail is Russian for Michael, right?
Good, yeah. Look at you, bilingual and all.
A Russian...
Mike Dog.
A Russian police officer. He was nicknamed a werewolf by Russian media.
Oh! No. No.
Initially admitted to having raped and killed 22 women in 2015... after offering them late-night rides, and these occurred between 1992 and 2010. But after a further investigation, he admitted to 56 other homicides, making him Russia's most prolific serial killer. Brandy?
You mean aside from Putin? What?
Stalin, maybe. From 1992 to 2000... 10, Popkov is suspected of murdering up to 29 women. He would pick up slightly intoxicated women. And, Colonel, this is this is one thing women need to be careful about, because we have a lot of women in our audience who drink, some of them quite heavily.
I think most of them, yeah.
So you got to be careful when you're leaving bars and parties, or you're John, whatever the case may be. Because he would use his police car and uniform to gain their trust, at least in some of the murders that he committed. Popkov would then drive to the forest where he would rape and murder them, which we do not we do not condone that sort of activity.
And that's when you talk about situational awareness, you know, and your own personal safety, you really. There's nothing you can do when someone is a policeman. and saying, "Hey, come with me."
I mean, you are
you're just helpless.
Right. Right. So the victims were reportedly axed, stabbed, or strangled to death. One of the victims was decapitated, and another's heart had been ripped out. Popkov would rape the victims after they were deceased. So,
little light necrophilia.
Well, I mean, isn't necrophilia if the body is still warm? I mean,
I believe it is.
I believe it's once it hits below 92 is when they consider it necrophilia. I'm not a coroner.
You know, we're hoping to have Dweeb Con again this year in October, provided that it's safe to do so. And if we do, Brandy, I'm going to have T-shirts made up that says, "Is it necrophilia if the body is still warm?" I think that should be our logo.
Is DweebCon ever really safe? That's the question.
Well,
it's really not.
Here's the thing, too, though. Should we have breakout groups and stuff where we can discuss it?
No. I'm pretty much making this decision. It's going to be the theme for DweebCon 2021. Is it really
necrophilia?
If the body's
still warm,
yes, that's going to be our theme.
That's a hell of a theme.
I would like to get those T-shirts made up in advance, so that when people are flying in from all over the world, we get people show up to DweebCon from all over, from Australia and Europe.
It's an international event, Timmy.
And I want to have the T-shirts made up in advance so we could mail them to our, you know, to the attendees. So when they're on the plane coming to Cincinnati, they can wear it proudly. Is it necrophilia if the body is still warm?
There you go. You know, when you think about it, DweebCon is much like the Olympics, Timmy.
Special like Olympics.
People coming from, people come from all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, to join up for one thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the Olympics.
Well, DweebCon is, you know, as Colonel, throughout the year, we make love to our audience. DweebCon is an opportunity for the audience to make love to us.
To make love to the audience.
Yeah, they make love to us. Yeah,
to us? DweebCon. Well, I think that might be a little problematic.
I think my girlfriend might object to that, but
that's what I was going to say. I believe Leanne's ears just perked up and said, "What the hell?"
Well, we're talking. it's an analogy, not really.
Oh, okay. Not literally make love.
That would be wrong.
Just show our appreciation.
Exactly.
Because I bought people drinks the last time, so that's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. So look for, if you join our Facebook group, you can stay up to date on plans for DweebCon 2021. Is it necrophilia if the body is still warm? All right, Mikhail Popkov was born.
You seem pretty enamored of
it. Why can you not say this poor guy's name?
How do you pronounce it? How do you pronounce it?
Popkov.
Mikhail.
Not Potkov. Not.
Well, I'm
Popat, sa-
I,
not
I'm,
whatever.
I'm saying it in Russian. That's the difference. You're saying it.
Yeah, Timmy using the Ukrainian dialect.
You're using the dialect of someone from Loveland. Mikhail.
Oh my God.
Lebanon to me.
Mikhail Popkov, as you would say, Brandy.
No, I don't
Michael
say
Popcorn
it that way.
Was born in Irsk, Russia. How would you say the name of that town, Brandy? Irkst. Russia.
Irkust.
On March.
Whatever.
There's a U in there.
On March the 7th, 1964. That's about the year you were born, wasn't it, Colonel? Cool.
It was roughly the year I was born, yeah.
Coincidence? Roughly. Maybe.
Maybe.
Well.
Oh!
Irsk is a small city in Siberia. Little is known about Mikhail's upbringing and personal life beyond the fact that he was raised by a single mother who was a violent alcoholic and prostitute. Now, see, that's better than being an alcoholic and a violent prostitute. Being a violent alcoholic and a prostitute
is
better.
Yeah, where you place that word violent is really key there.
Yeah, you're right. The adjectives are very important. His mother would reportedly beat and torture young Mikhail nearly every day of his childhood. So he had a kind of...
Aren't most Russians, Timmy, and now I'm not a international studies expert, but Colonel been around.
The West Side.
Aren't most Russian people violent alcoholics by nature?
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm not going to comment on that because, we do have a listener. Last time we don't get too many listeners from Russia, but the last time I looked at our statistics, we had some listeners in Minsk. So we're big in Minsk.
Minsk?
Yeah, we're big in Minsk. So I'm sure they're occasionally lovely people, but they're probably, it's probably Westerners that moved over there.
Yeah. Okay.
Got a good deal.
Just the Russians that I've run into have been violent. Okay.
How many people moved to Siberia, though?
Well, you can get some good deals on property over there.
Property values are cheap.
Does it have internet?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you'd have to live under Putin, which would be a downside, I would think. But
I would think yes, that would be pretty awful.
Throughout his life, Mikhail had difficult relationships with women, and later they would it would be blamed on his this relationship he had with his mother, who I don't think I mentioned it here, but she was described as a handsome woman who was who weighed over 400 pounds.
The Big Bertha prostitute said.
Throughout his life, Mikhail had difficult relationships with women.
She had a niche. She had a niche. Crowd there.
Yeah, she had a niche service.
Because a lot of guys out there want a violent alcoholic to service them.
I know I don't want a big, mean, drunk, 400-pound prostitute coming at me.
Hey, honey.
So I would.
Hey, sweetie.
I would save my money for somebody else. I mean, you can have one or the other. You can be an alcoholic and a prostitute.
You have to be careful. Let her do the reverse cowgirl, though, because you may get a hernia.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Here's the other thing anytime somebody is described as handsome, a woman is described as handsome.
It's not a good thing.
It's not.
Yeah, they're packing 6 inches.
Wasn't Belle Gunness, when she described as a handsome woman?
Handsome. All these people, she's a handsome woman. What the fuck? No, she actually wasn't. She was hideous. And had a big scar across her face and, a hair lip and buck teeth. God.
Colonel, you think when she was riding you, she would have that little cigarette, hanging out of the corner of the mouth?
There's nothing that says she was a smoker.
Paul Mall.
Between guzzles of vodka,
I'm guessing
nothing that says she was a smoker.
She probably made her own vodka.
I'm guessing she smoked Paul Malls. That's what I'm guessing.
Do they have Paul Malls in Russia?
Had big nicotine stained fingers there, all yellowy and yellow nails, and
that's the image that I have.
It just caused me to turtle up right here, Tim.
Oh God!
Yeah. So as a teenager, Mikhail was shy and rarely had conversations with a girl his age. Once he had a crush on a school teacher who was 64 years old. And he brought her flowers every day. So he was sucking up a little bit to the school teacher.
When you was doing your research, did he ever bang her, Timmy?
I don't think so. Once, after being teased by a group of boys, Mikhail stole a tractor and tried to run them over. So he could be a little violent sometimes. When it was reported to the local constable, the police officer just laughed and encouraged Mikhail to pursue a career in law enforcement, which he would later, of course, do.
That seems kind of that seems prudent.
Now, I've noticed a theme running through here when we do serial killers, yes. Timmy. Have you ever noticed that none of them, we never start with, enjoyed a loving, nurturing relationship with their mother?
Yeah, see, that's it, man. Mothers will make you turn you into serial killers, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm concerned about poor little Noah.
I didn't want to bring that up.
Throughout his life, I already said that, right? So I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at. All right, here I am. Throughout his life.
He means literally, too. I don't know where I am.
I smell bacon. Throughout his life.
That's what happens when he retires. And it's toast. It's toast. You smell burnt toast.
You smell bacon. Well, you smell what you want to smell, and I'll smell what I want to smell.
Timmy will have his own goddamn stroke on his own terms, goddammit.
Throughout his life, Mikhail had a difficult relationship. I already said that, didn't I?
Yes. I'm starting to smell burnt toast, for fuck's sake.
I think what you did was you actually typed it twice in here, Timmy.
So I wasn't crazy. I just was confused. Despite his troubled home life and lack of friends, proofreading is... I'm glad you guys proofread your part so you know where I'm at. Despite his troubled home life and lack of friends his own age, Mikhail received good marks in school and joined the Soviet Navy upon graduating high school in 1982, because that was before the fall of the Soviet Union. So he was in the Soviet Navy. Mm-hmm. He enjoyed life in the Navy and would have likely made it a career had not the Soviet Union collapsed in 1989 and leaving 25-year-old Mikhail discharged and looking for work like millions of other Russians. So, a little tough time in Russia in the late
1980s. That sucks for him.
So, Brandy, will you tell us what happens next?
I would love to. So, Mikhail spent most of his time playing pool and drinking vodka, as we all do. He became very good at pool and was able to earn money and booze by gambling.
Okay.
Around this time, he met a seamstress named Ira.
What's wrong with Ira?
Oh, my God. Let's just, I'm going to say Ira because that just sounds better.
You
for
say
me.
Ira?
Do you know what he, do you know what he learned there? Do you know what he learned there?
What? What?
With his boozing and gambling?
What?
He learned when to hold them, and he learned when to fold them.
Well, no,
he learned when to walk away, and learned when to run.
There's a lot of...
Yeah. Well, he didn't sit at a table counting his earnings.
No.
Because he knew there'd be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Well, Ira was quite a bit older than Mikhail.
Yeah, you think it was difficult when Kenny Rogers went down on a woman with his beard and all? I mean, that has to, you know.
Are you fucking kidding you me
get,
right now?
You get them tangled up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, one of the areas is going to have to be smooth. You know what I mean? And Kenny Rogers, when he had the New Edition, that was back with, you know, with the 70s Bush.
Oh, yeah.
And he had that beard.
Did that song, Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town.
So you think it was like Velcro?
Oh,
you think when he went down there, it was just like Velcro?
Right. Yeah. When he would get.
Okay.
You know, that was him separating.
Right. So.
Yeah. Brandy has a woman. You got to let Brandy, you're a woman.
To town.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Allegedly.
Have you ever been with a man with a full beard?
Yes.
Well,
Dave's got a beard.
Dave does not have a beard.
I haven't seen
Dave
had
a beard
in
a long time.
I didn't know he had a full beard. Well,
is Dave still alive? Ain't nobody seen Dave
I know.
In a while.
And you know, she never brings him up. I'm wondering if he's like...
No.
He's like in the basement. She's like Kathy Bates or something. Has him
yeah.
Broke his legs.
Yeah, don't worry about Dave. He's fine. Anyway.
All right, for that Social Security, you can roll, start rolling in.
Fuck Social Security. Shit.
Brandy, back to the question. So if you were with a man who had a full beard, does that bother you that when he would perform that function?
No.
I mean, is it?
No.
I mean, did it ever become problem? Was it like ripping a Band-Aid off of a scab, you know, like just do it real fast when he had to separate?
Well, you say no, like you enjoyed it. Was it preferable that he had a full beard?
Okay. Oh, my God.
What?
Let's just, it doesn't
matter.
Well,
you're a woman, devil. We don't know these things.
Nobody
knows. Me and Timmy ain't never been with a woman with a full beard, so, you know.
Okay. So, listen here. Mm-hmm. So he's married to Ira.
Ira.
All right? Right. She was quite a bit older than him.
Okay.
She was 47 and he was 28 at the time.
All right. So she's a cougar.
But yeah. The couple. Wait a minute.
The cougar and the werewolf.
Okay. But the couple got along well, at least at
first.
That's
what it sounded like when they was making love.
Oh,
devil.
My God.
When they was making the love. She was a cougar, and she'd be like, meow. And then he'd be all like, oh.
He was her.
Okay.
Lover.
It's like The Hunger. Have you ever seen that movie?
What
movie?
The Hunger?
No.
It's an old movie about werewolves.
Brandy, you know what he was? He was her lover.
The Howling. That's the movie.
Yeah, no. Well, what did you say it was? I saw The Howling. What did you call it?
It's like The Howling and The Hunger made a joint movie together.
Jesus. Okay.
So what's this woman look like, Brandy?
Well, Ira was
a handsome woman.
Well, yeah, she was a handsome woman, and she was a bit larger than your average woman.
All right.
She stood 6'2" and weighed 456 pounds.
Wow.
The NFL tried to draft her.
She larger than your average tractor.
She might want to try Weight Watchers, just as a suggestion.
Not if she wants to go
to
the NFL.
Well, we don't know how it was proportioned. She might have been
well-proportioned. Well, I'm sure she was.
Could you imagine the jigglies on that?
So, basically, you're saying, because his mother was over 400 pounds, so he has this little...
Okay. Yeah, you think that there was something
I'd love to get to that part that you wrote here for me to fucking say.
All right. Continue.
This is something that Ira had in common with Mikhail's mother, who was also tall and weighed well over 300 pounds.
Yeah, she went... 300 pounds, but I mean, he went up on a whole other person going to 456.
Yeah,
he did. He did. Here's a question for you, though.
In Siberia, how do you weigh that much? There's not that much shit there to eat.
They eat each other.
Oh, okay.
they do. So it's the bottom of the seventh, right, Devil? It's a tie game. And Ira comes to the plate. And she hits one out of the park, and your team wins. And so,
really,
after the game, are you still, you know, doing the cuddles and the kisses and everything else? Because you know, she's a violent alcoholic.
What the fuck are you yammering about?
His mom.
What
hey,
the fuck
mom,
are you
devil,
yammering
did
about?
You,
his mom was a violent did, alcoholic, not his wife.
His mother was a violent alcoholic. Ira
well,
was probably
Ira,
a
you
delightful
know she was,
woman.
Dude. She was Russian.
Was just
no,
sewing
she was
dresses.
Russian. She was a violent alcoholic.
Oh, my God. So the couple moved in together, and Ira supported them with her work as a seamstress, while Mikhail mostly drank up his earnings from gambling.
You think they cuddled at night? They did a little spooning, you think,
yes,
Colonel?
I don't think they had a choice. It's very cold there.
Who do you think was the big spoon?
She was the big spoon. This led to arguments, as it does.
Yeah.
Ira also enjoyed drinking and would go out to drink 4 or 5 times per week.
Yeah.
Ira sometimes stayed out to the wee hours of the morning. On few occasions, not returning home until late the following day. Fearing that Ira was cheating on him, Mikhail would follow her some evenings. Now, I need to move to Siberia, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
evidently, these two women that are in Mikhail's life, who combined, I mean, weigh about 800 pounds, they're getting more ass than a McDonald's toilet seat.
Well, there's...
Like, I feel like I could go to Siberia and have to, you know, Batman away with a fucking ball bat.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there's probably not a lot of...
This evidently is a thing.
Probably.
You basically be this Cindy Crawford of Siberia.
I would be.
There's probably not...
Oh, my gosh.
There's probably not a lot of women there. So, you know, you got someone... If someone has a vagina, you hop on it, don't you, Colonel?
And I love...
And you already got the violent alcoholic thing down. Yeah.
Well, and I love that Mikhail thinks that Ira is cheating on him with her almost 500-pound self as she waddles up the street. Mikhail is sitting there going, everyone wants a piece of that, and I'm going to follow it and find out what's happening.
That's not something you can hide under the bed or the closet if somebody come, you know.
Right.
Somebody come home late at night. Like, Ira, get in the closet. I can't get in that goddamn closet.
Right.
Get under.
No, that's not going
to
happen.
How are you going to hide that? Okay, pretend to be the Christmas tree. I'm just going to throw some garland on you.
Yeah. So, one night, Mikhail followed Little Miss Ira to a local pub and demanded that she return home. Never mind the fact that...
No, he didn't.
Well, never mind the fact that Ira can beat his ass like a fucking rented mule.
Well, I mean, he was a man. He's a man. He's a Russian man. They're manly. Manly men.
Well, he was getting ready to get his ass whipped. But Ira, who was drunk at this point because she was out, refused to leave the bar, and an argument ensued.
That's not Mikhail, good. Not good.
Well, Mikhail called Ira a whore, of which there was no proof, and she responded by telling everyone at the bar that Mikhail had a small penis and did not know how to satisfy a woman.
Well, see.
So, she's just gone too far.
You have to start drinking somewhere else after that.
Never mind. But at almost 500 pounds, wouldn't everyone have a small penis?
Well, that's true. That's a good point, Brendan.
You know, when a woman says you got a small penis, you got one of two things to do. You can do what Mikhail did here and just leave the bar while everybody laughs at you. Or you just got to take it out and put it right there on the bar. And say, Sheila, here you go, Sheila. But see, here's the thing. In Siberia, everybody got a small penis because it's so goddamn cold up there.
So there's that. But again, if you weigh almost 500 pounds, it's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
You got to get to the hallway.
Yeah, that's right. Because,
you know, that's the problem. Just getting to the hallway.
Yeah, you need those little guys out on the tarmac with their little, you know, waving the planes in.
I guess. So Mikhail leaves the bar, and when Ira got home later that evening, the argument continued with Ira threatening to leave. Mikhail begged her to stay, and she agreed as long as he promised not to interfere with her social life. He relented and agreed to her terms.
I mean, in fairness to Mikhail, he loved her. And two, it's hard to find a woman that's, you know, 6'2 and weighs 6 pounds.
Yeah, you don't see them just everywhere, Sasquatches. So, you know, I wonder if about this time he would have busted out his Casey and the Sunshine Band little 45. And just when she came in, it'd be like, please don't go.
Oh, God.
Don't go. I'm begging you to stay. Please don't
Colonel
go.
Colonel, oh, my God. Corner of Curse is well known for his singing, and our audience just loves when he sings, Brandon.
Yeah. So on the evenings when Ira decided that she was going to go out and Mikhail was stuck at home with his broke ass, Mikhail later told psychiatrists that he would often lay in bed and fantasize about his wife with other men.
All right.
What had once been a source of mental anguish for him was now a turn on.
Who hasn't fantasized about, you know, their significant other? And I'm not talking about sexually. I'm just talking about geographically. being with a different man. Like,
she was a hot wife.
You go there, I'm going to stay here.
She was a hot wife. That's a thing.
She was.
Yeah.
Soon. Was.
I mean, would that really be a threesome if you brought another man?
No, I don't guess.
Well,
when you're running,
well, if
it's more of a gangbang.
Yeah, I mean,
he's probably soon. He's probably hiding in the closet when she brings her guys home.
Probably, but mm-hmm. soon, Mikhail was encouraging Ira to go out, even on evenings when she said she was tired and she wanted to stay home.
So
he would give her money to drink, and even help her dress, into something sexy. What
sexy
the
being
fuck
in
is
quotes,
happening?
Mm-hmm. He gone full cuckold on us.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Mikhail.
You're a cuck now.
Well,
Mikhail the cuck.
Do you know
Mikhail?
Do you know that dendrophilia? You know what that is, Colonel? That's a.
It's a fear of teeth in the vagina. It's
not
a,
phobia.
It's a sexual attraction.
Philia.
Sexual attraction to trees.
Oh yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
Who don't want to
tap that sap, Timmy?
Tap Muco, that sap. Holy
tap that sap,
Muco.
You go through the woods, you see yourself a nice maple tree, and you're like, I'm gonna tap that sap.
Muco, oh mucophiliacs are sexually aroused by sneezing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Oh, my God. Why?
You haven't got
why?
A, you
why
haven't ever got the allergies, Timmy, and had just a... I had to call the hospital one time because I was like, yeah, I haven't taken no Viagra, but I got that erection that lasted more than 4 hours because I was sneezing all the time, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
Avia.
So,
4 hours,
avius,
all right.
Avius sodomy is having sex with birds.
Yes. All right.
I'm reading the Pornhub.
Like turkeys.
The Pornhub categories.
I love that.
Oh, okay.
There's a category for Pornhub on sleeping with birds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a category on Pornhub for fucking birds and trees.
Yeah.
And people sneezing.
And there,
so you just really watch a nature
the
film.
There's another one.
And it's really the Amazon of porn is what it
there's
is.
There's also... Eucalyptus lucullentus is also known as worming, and that is the practice of eye licking.
Of what?
Eye licking. Licking people's eyes.
I'm out on that. That's no. Yeah, absolutely not. That's so fucking nope. That's how you get pink eye. Anyway.
That is how you get pink eye.
Anyway. So he would help her get into her sexy dress.
It's all pink on the
inside. Oh, he's dressing. He's
it's all
dressing,
pink eye on the inside.
He's dressing up mama to go out and have it.
Go out and get you some, girl.
So Mikhail made it clear to Ira that she was welcome to bring strangers home with her and do what lovers do.
You look hot. Ugh. You look hot in that bed sheet. Thank you, sweetie.
Exactly.
Thank you, sweetie.
You look so hot in those curtains.
Put a belt on and just cinch it at the waist.
Yeah.
All right. Although Ira enjoyed her newfound freedom, she soon became annoyed with Mikhail and kicked him out of her home after a few months.
Well, see, he was trying to be supportive, Brandy, and
right. Look what it got him.
Yeah, but now why? She doesn't need him. Let me go out and do all this. I don't need your dumbass here drinking my shit and tearing up my house.
He's just asking her to do what lovers do. That's all.
Yeah, but if she can go out and find people to do what lovers do with her, then what the fuck she need him for? He's not doing anything. He's a useless stain.
I'm just thinking logistically yeah. here. The mechanics of this, she always just getting a tip. At best, just getting a tip.
Yeah, that's if he can, get in there.
Mm-hmm.
What? She probably, now, you guys probably don't know this, but on old sewing machines, you had to pump them with your feet and your legs. Mm-hmm. So I bet her legs were okay. I bet her legs were strong as hell. I bet she could crush watermelons
in those thighs.
I wouldn't want to get my head between those two things.
Yeah.
You certainly want to get your head between her and food.
Well, clearly not.
No, her and a deer or something.
Homeless and broke.
Yeah.
A fellow pool shark suggested that Mikhail apply for a position on the local police force.
All right.
Mikhail, who was unemployed with no real career prospects and, now no chunky wife, applied the next day. And a few weeks later, Mikhail Popkov was a member of the Irkutsk police force. Mikhail enjoyed his new position, especially being able to tell people what to do and accepting the occasional bribe to supplement his income.
I will say, Brandy, you need to work on your Russian, don't you think, Colonel?
I do.
I think so. I think that you. But Russian, it's so hard because you got the Ukraine and Georgia and Russia. Yeah. They'll have different accents. It's like us and, Georgia. We got a Georgia. They got a Georgia. See, we can find common ground with them if we really want to. We both got Georgias.
Yeah. Well, for the first time in his life. No. No, Ray, stop. For the first time in his life, Mikhail developed a group of friends. Most were other members of the police force.
Okay. It's a fraternity.
Not much longer later, one of his new friends introduced... What? Not long later, one of his new friends introduced Mikhail to a young laundress named Alanya.
Which
we'll
I
go
think
with that.
Is Ellen in Russian, I think.
Okay. A shy, meek young lady who thought Mikhail was the most handsome man she'd ever seen. Soon, the couple was married and started a family. Alanya gave birth to a girl a year later, and Mikhail, now a respected member of the police force and community, life seemed perfect. But it was not so perfect. Mikhail would often tell his co-workers how disgusted he was by prostitutes he would arrest. He told them that the women had no morals and should all be driven into the sea. His fellow officers thought his views and morality were a little strict, but overall they felt he was a good man. Okay, so we're going to stop there because now he's got all of these morals and he's got all this. When just a few years earlier, he's sending his fucking refrigerator wife out to go get laid and bring people back, and we're going to have a little... Fuck him and his morality. Fuck him.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to drive them all into the sea... Aren't you going to drown, too?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, it seems like a bad plan to me.
Unless he has one of those, boats that is also a car and a boat.
Oh, yeah, like a duck boat.
Yeah.
You know who had one of those, Timmy? And you used to scare the fuck out of people?
LBJ.
Lyndon Johnson, OBJ. He'd be driving down the road and all of a sudden just pull into a pond just to terrify people in the car.
Yeah, that seems like his thing, though. He really liked to just knock people off balance.
He had a Johnson.
So eventually.
Yeah. He had a Johnson.
Heard.
He did. He had quite the Johnson.
Eventually, women around town started to disappear. The crime spree started in early 1992 and continued until at least 2000. A reign of terror that resulted in the murder of at least 78 women, mostly prostitutes. The victims had all been brutally murdered, many having their organs removed. The killer beheaded at least one woman and gouged the heart out of a victim. Some of the victims had been sexually assaulted after death.
But is it? But is it necrophilia if the body is
Right.
So well, in Siberia, it pretty much is because once, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're
dead in Siberia, they drop down to 85 degrees in, you know, the matter of a half hour. So you got to be quick there.
After a few of the murders, a task force was formed to investigate similar crimes throughout Siberia. Investigators quickly determined a pattern. All of the women were young, mostly between 19 and 40 years of age. They were all heavy set. Typically, the victims had been slightly intoxicated when he lured them to their deaths. They had been at bars or parties before their abductions. The women were usually disfigured, indicating that they were killed in anger. The perpetrator murdered the women with a slipknot, knife, awl, screwdriver, or an axe, which he used up to 17 times on some victims.
I wonder if he had like one of those little Swiss knives and you bring out the quartz screw and the blade and pop out can.
Well, you know, this whole thing, they were killed in anger. Now, it don't take a goddamn the people at Quantico to figure that shit out. Because how many people you see walking around just joyful and happy? Serial killing.
Or, yeah, removing.
No,
removing
it's the angry people. Serial killers are angry.
They are, Brandy. He's got a good point, Brandy.
Yeah. I've been studying this quite extensively. And the one thing that comes up time and time again is, you know, anger. Anger.
Well,
not joyfulness, not happiness, not contentment with their lives, but anger.
Most of the murders, at least early on, occurred in midweek, leaving the police to dub the assassin the Wednesday Killer. Okay. Although later, due to claw marks on several of the women's face, the police started calling it the Werewolf.
And really, that's a better name than the Wednesday Killer, don't you think? I mean,
Who wants to be the Wednesday Killer? You know,
I mean, do you think when he was the Wednesday Killer? Do you think like people would post on Facebook? It's hump day, it's Wednesday killer day. I know.
He really killed it. Yeah, it's Wednesday killer day. Yeah, he just killed the middle of the week for people.
Well, other than these few facts, investigators had few leads. After several years of investigation, they discovered something else. Investigators discovered a pattern. Tracks from a Lada 4x4, an off-road vehicle used by law enforcement, were found at numerous crime scenes. For years, police had suspected that the killer's job was as a metal worker, a driver, a railway employee, or a heating station engineer. Maybe even a cemetery worker.
Oh, yeah. If you're a cemetery worker, you get put, you know, you're always on the list of suspects.
Well, right. Only much later did the police understand that the killer was one of their own. For 8 years, the killings went on unabated.
I wonder how metal workers got on their radar.
Who knows? let's see. And then in 2000, the killing just stopped. This led police to believe that the killer was either dead or now in prison. The case that had the police baffled for nearly a decade suddenly was at a dead end. There were some close calls along the way. On January 26, 1998, a 15-year-old girl named Svetlana told
Svetlana.
How Svetlana told how a police car stopped near her and offered to give her a lift. The policeman took her into a woodland where he forced her to take off all her clothes. He then smashed her head against a tree.
Yeah, I guess that would be a clue.
That does not seem like good community relations to me.
That's not. No. But
no, it doesn't.
Charles, do you want to read this next part?
Well, I'll go into this. Now, Svetlana here, she lost consciousness and the next day was found alive near a small village, somehow surviving despite being naked in sub-zero temperatures.
You know, do you think...
She awoke in the hospital.
Do you think, do you think at all the small villages, they had village idiots?
They did.
Yes, I think even large villages, they had village
idiots.
I think we have them now.
They have, but you know, they have village idiot conventions. All the idiots get on a bus and they all meet. Idiot con, basically.
Wow. Idiot con. Well, now she woke up naked in sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah.
Who amongst us has not had that same experience?
Well, she woke up in the hospital. Somebody found her naked.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you wake up. You don't know where you've been. You ain't got no clothes. You're in a dumpster. You're in somewhere. It's cold. And now you got to, you know.
Wow. Well, it's anyway, not uncommon for our listeners.
It's not uncommon, no. Now, at first, they disregarded Svetlana's account because she was young and deemed unreliable due to a head injury.
So what the fuck?
Talk about blaming the victim now. You bang somebody's head against a tree, and then they say, oh, that bitch crazy. She had a head banged against a tree. You can't listen to anything she say.
I mean, how reliable can she be?
Right.
Yeah. She had a head banged against a tree. Now, year after year, Svetlana's mother begged police to take her testimony seriously. And she got so frustrated with the slow pace of the investigation that she contacted the Siberian Times.
Da, da, da.
And I don't think that they've ever won a Pulitzer there, but
who are they?
She shared a story with
them. Who are they closing in on, Colonel?
Well, they're closing in on the werewolf.
Oh.
Now, finally, investigators interviewed Svetlana the second time, and they showed the photos of local policemen. When they saw Mikhail Popkov, she started crying and shaking hysterically. She told the police officer Popkov was a man who brutally assaulted her. Now, investigators interviewed him, and he, of course, denied all of the allegations, saying the victim was confused due to him. He said, you know what? You can't believe anything she says. I banged her head against a tree like 10 times. Now, they even interviewed his wife, Elania, who amazingly provided an alibi for her husband, even though the assault occurred on a random evening several years before.
See, yeah, but you investigators, gotta call bullshit there.
They were not convinced. Several of the victims had been sexually assaulted shortly after the murder. The killer left DNA in the way of sperm.
Yeah, see,
semen,
sperm will
ejaculate.
Sperm will get
baby
batter.
You gotta
be careful where you leave at sperm.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. If you see a dead body, you just stay away from it.
Well, here's some advice to our listeners, Colonel. If you're out jogging, and you run across a mutilated body, the last thing you want to do is masturbate over it. The last thing you want to do. You want to go home and do it, that's fine, but don't do it there because
Timmy's life advice.
You could end up
I love this.
Could end up being falsely accused of murder.
You could. You could in Siberia, that shit freezes up before it hits the body, so you know.
I have this vision of like a frozen
sperm sickle.
Yeah, like it's coming out and it just freezes in an arc.
Well, I got. It freezes in little gray or whatever droplets, you know, and then it hits the ground, tink 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 tink, or the body, and then come spring, you know, it thaws up. Well, anyway. Now, so he's leaving the gizmo behind.
Yeah.
Now, when the Siberian police commissioner learned that Russia's most prolific serial killer may be a cop, he ordered DNA testing for all police officers in Siberia, sent every one of them, lined them up, gave them a jar, and said, spank the monkey right into this cup, please.
And you know, when he was doing nearly, it, he was thinking of some old, overweight, violent alcoholic.
His mama, yeah, probably. Yeah, his mama Ira. With another man is what he was thinking about.
Thinking of Ira.
Now, 3,500 men, current and prior police officers, were tested.
That's a lot of police officers in Siberia.
3,500? His reign of terror come to an end not long after the DNA testing started. There was a match.
Woo!
The perpetrator was 50-year-old police officer Michael Popkoff.
Oh, my God.
Now, he confessed to the 22 known murderers and then decided he was going to brag a little bit and threw in another 56 that investigators hadn't even connected to the killer.
Well,
even though, you know, I mean, their hearts was gone, they had werewolf fur claw marks.
But I mean, you know, if you're going to be convicted of 22 murders, I mean,
what's an extra 56?
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to be a subject of a podcast. You have to up the
Well, it's like being that baseball player, Timmy, that you don't know if you should retire or not because you're right at 399 home runs. You know, you just got to get that one more to get 400. I think that's what he wanted to go into the Siberian Serial Killer Hall of Fame. So
yeah.
He confessed to the other 56.
Jesus.
Now, Mikhail told investigators that he had killed the women because of their loose morals. Now,
oh, my God.
See, this sounds a little paradoxical to me.
What's that, Colonel?
He had, well, you see the conundrum here is that they have loose morals, so I am going to do something that is even more lacking in morals.
Well,
I'm going to hit him with an axe.
Never mind the fact that how is it, you know, how do you say all this and then fuck them when they're dead? Like,
well, yeah.
I mean, how do you sit
another
there and
contradiction?
Say, yeah, you know what the moral and right thing to do here? I'm going to go ahead and sleep with them real quick.
Well, I mean,
what the fuck?
Well, I think what he could have done was, you know, had referred them to our show, and you know they could have got life advice from the colonel, and we could have straightened out their morals.
Yes.
But no, he had to hit them with axes and shit. So you know, so he would later tell a psychologist that the women had reminded him of his abusive mother. Now, when the police inquired why he had stopped killing after 8 years, he confessed that he'd grown impotent. Impotent from an untested sexually transmitted disease.
And I think that is the tragedy here, Colonel, that he would have been able to kill more women had he not become impotent. It's kind of like the gift of Magi.
I'm not going to say that's tragic, but yeah.
It's like the gift of Magi, you think? I mean,
it's nothing like the gift of the Magi.
Well, one of these victims had to go as he was, you know, violating their dead bodies, because another life tip, gonorrhea will live on in a corpse, listeners.
Oh.
And Mikhail did not know
well,
that.
Well, see, when
and
you,
he
so,
had got the gonorrhea.
So when you would suggest, Colonel, if you're a serial killer, wear protection. That's all we're saying.
Well, I mean, had he done that, he would not have let those frozen droplets behind.
No.
But
and he wouldn't have got.
It's a good thing he did because he. Well,
I mean,
probably.
I mean,
I guess
he knew
the best
who he was dealing
I could
with,
give
right?
To
I mean, he knew these women were of loose morals, as he said. So you would,
as he said,
so
yeah.
You think he would use the condom?
I think the advice I'd give
the moral
to
thing
listeners
to do.
is probably to not chop up and
violate. Oh, well, that too, of course.
Women, but yeah, oh yeah, that's. So anyway, Popkoff was sentenced to life imprisonment because Russia, being the progressive and forward-thinking state they are, they do not have the death penalty.
Yeah.
So unless Putin poisons you, that's, you know, they got the death penalty that way. But in July 2020, yeah, I know, he can get in your shorts. So in July 2020, he confessed to more killings, bringing the total number of admitted victims to 83. He was just sitting in the cell and he was like, oh, fuck, you know what? I forgot. Could you get that prosecutor back here?
My bad, guys.
I forgot
Hold on.
My bad. There was 30 more. You know that 56 I told you about? No, there was some more. So due to the horrific nature of the crime, many in Russia are calling for the reinstatement of the death penalty.
Dun, dun, dun.
And in the meantime, Mikhail just sits in his cell, and sometimes in Siberia late at night, in the distance, you can hear a...
You guys are fucking ridiculous.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Mikhail Popkov, their werewolf? Colonel, I said the werewolf.
It doesn't matter. He's not doing it, but I find it amazing. Way to catch up. Yeah, he's not slow at all. Anyway, it's pretty repugnant for a lot of reasons, but you know, I don't think he ever got over his first love of Ira.
Well, we just want our audience to understand this is the kind of stories that Brandy reads to Noah at night. So,
no, it's not.
Well, you said he suggested this story.
Well, and never mind the fact that, you know, this was very, very much cleaned up for the little animation
you
video.
You clean
that
up
Noah
a guy
watched.
Who killed 83 women.
Yeah. It's hard.
Well, no,
South Park couldn't do this.
First of all, they didn't talk about Ira. They didn't talk about him, you know, sleeping with all these people after they were dead. He just said that he would. They just said that he would violate them after they were dead. So, I mean, we didn't. Somebody who's nine is not going to get that. So just fuck off. Don't you worry. Don't you mom shame me, okay? We're all just treading water over here.
For our listeners, that number is 513-441-KIDS.
Yeah.
All right, let me, Colonel.
I think you could probably. Well, I'm not going to judge you, Devil. I'm
I
not
feel like
judge
you are, though.
I will let our listeners judge you harshly.
Colonel, what?
They absolutely cannot.
Colonel, what's your final thoughts on Mikhail Popkov, the werewolf?
Well, I like werewolves as a rule, Timmy, but. Sometimes werewolves, they behave badly, Timmy. They behave badly. And you gotta, if they would have just taken on Wednesdays, Timmy, and chained him in a basement, none of this would have happened.
Yeah, Wednesday.
You know, haven't you seen the werewolf movie? They just chain him up, and then he tried to get rid.
It always works out
he
well.
He ain't killing and violent. Yeah, it always works out.
See, the werewolf was one that I just could not be, you know, like, I was a little frightened. I'm frightened of ghosts, frightened of aliens. I was even frightened of The Blob. Remember that movie, Colonel, The Blob?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a man turning into a wolf just was not that scary to me.
See, I had a terrible fear of werewolves when I was a kid. I believed that was real. I used to get in the middle of the street, run home under the streetlights. That way I could hear the clicking of his nails behind me if he was chasing me, Timmy.
Okay, so you were afraid of werewolves.
Now, werewolves are much like bears. What you want to do is get right inside. You don't want to fight them from the outside. You want to get right inside them and get into those internal organs, a soft underbelly, and just start ripping out. Now, you're probably going to get bit and be a werewolf yourself, but at least you survive it.
Well, right. I mean, would that be a bad thing to be a werewolf?
I'd be a benevolent werewolf.
I mean, would it be a bad thing, really, to be a werewolf?
Not really. No, except for the naked, waking up naked, you know, in the zoo.
Alpo on your breath.
Next to the dead deer. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you know.
All right.
And then the lack of, you know, the first thing I do is I go find the hottest woman I knew and bite her, Timmy.
And that way you'd.
And then tell her, you know what, meet me in the woods on Wednesday night. And then you'd hear, oh, woo!
Why? Why are you like this? Why are you like this? Why?
You think when he was hiding, Mikhail Popkov was hiding in the closet while his Ira was being banged by one of her clients. He was in the closet, and he was every when they were climaxing, he would say,
"Yeah." Yeah.
First of all, Ira was not a prostitute. Don't besmirch Ira.
Well,
Ira was not a prostitute.
She was a whore.
She was a whore, Brandon.
If Michael says she a whore, she a whore.
Whatever.
All right. So we're going on to our news segment. What are we calling this segment, Colonel?
Life coaching from the dweebs.
Didn't we used to have the Colonel's Corner? Remember that?
We had the Colonel's Corner. Yeah, we did. That was very popular, but time constraints, you know, being what they are.
So if you have a question, you would like life advice from one of us, first of all,
reevaluate.
You're way beyond our help if you need advice from us. But if you do, send one of us a message on through Messenger. And we will address it on our very next episode. You can also join our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast. And there you can also ask your question. And you get to join a group of a bunch of funny, very funny people who listen to the show. So with that,
very popular,
what's our first question, Colonel?
Well, our first question, Timmy, comes from a mother, concerned mother, okay. Timmy. And she said, my son, who is 20, knocked up a young girl, and they're getting married. Now, advice on what to do with this situation and tips for getting the new daughter-in-law to like you.
Okay.
I know that you mentioned that you have some children, so... maybe you'll be in the same situation. Well, you know, I got boys, so that situation is always a possibility at any given moment.
And somebody else's problem.
Yeah. So let's address this first part.
Okay.
Now, he's 20 years old. He's 20 years old. So he's getting married. He's doing the right thing to do. Doing the right thing here. But... I see some problems with 20-year-olds getting married. Don't you, Timmy?
Well...
I mean, it's a tough thing. But you know, you can help them because you help them along. Now, we get to the second part. Advice on this situation and getting the new daughter-in-law to like you. Let me explain that you don't need her to like you. She's going to need you.
Fuck her.
Because they're 20 years old. They're going to be married. They ain't going to have no goddamn money. So they're going to be coming to you. They might be living in your house. So the important thing is that you like her. The important thing is, much like the prison code, you establish dominance over this woman.
Slap her.
Over this young girl.
You pee on her.
When you meet her, well, you pee on your son. You pee on your son to mark the territory. Right. Because here's the thing. Women come and go.
When we say that, we
but
mean
a boy
we
and
mean
his
the,
mama.
The person who's writing, the mother, right? And we don't want everyone just to go.
Right, the mother.
We don't want everyone just to walk up and pee on
her. Don't everyone go pee on the boy. You go in, you either slap her, establish dominance in some way, and then she's going to be working hard to get you to like her so she don't get slapped again, right? So you establish your dominance. They're going to need plenty of help because they're only 20 years old, and our thoughts and prayers are going to be with them. We really hope that they can make it through this. You know, but the other side of this is you got a baby coming into the world, and that's going to bring a lot of joy, so you're going to be able to share that together, you know, be involved in those moments and share the joy and share the joy and slap her. That's my really
and,
my
and,
advice
and
for this.
And pee on her. That's my advice. And, pee on
well,
her.
Well, don't pee on her. Pee on the son. Because, again, as I say, women come and go, but mamas and the boys, you know, unless they're violent Russian drunken alcoholics, there's a bond. That he's always going to be a boy. They're going to get married, and hopefully it works out, and you know, she's his wife forever. But
we,
you know, 50% of them don't.
We know,
wives are temporary.
We know it's not gonna,
mamas
on,
are permanent.
We know it's not going to work out. She's going to be out of there. Well, she's going to leave him. He's going to pay child support, and that's why.
Well, I'm an optimist,
Timmy.
You know, I'm an optimist.
Which is why
love,
I
Timmy.
Say why you still can pee on her.
Well, pee on both of them if you want to. But the trick, again, they need you. They're going to need you for plenty of help. So you establish dominance. You slap her.
Pee on her.
You tell her where her room is. You tell her when the dinner time is. You tell her when she's going to help you cook. And what do you think about that advice, Devil? Would you concur? Or do you have some other words of
wisdom? Now, Brandy has a very good relationship. You have a very good relationship with your son's fiance, right?
Well, yeah, she works for me.
Yeah, but you guys she's very sweet.
Have you ever had to slap her?
Have you ever peed on her?
I've never had to slap her. No, and I've never peed on either one of them. We did have a talk at one point, I think, where I said, you know, I got rid of the last one, I can get rid of you too. Which establishes a healthy fear. I think
well,
you
fear's
also
always
to...
fear's a healthy component in every relationship, wouldn't you say?
Sure. And so you have to establish this healthy fear. That way, you know, she knows that you can make her non-existent fairly quickly.
I think peeing on her would do the exact same, you know, would have the same result.
Don't pee on her. You don't
pee, on, the
pee
boy.
On her. You pee on the
you
boy.
You pee on the thing you're claiming.
You claim as yours.
All I'm saying, it wouldn't hurt.
And when the baby comes, you pee on that too.
Okay.
You pee on the baby. Pee on the baby. Because you're going to be the grandma. You're going to be the grandma. You're worried about something that you ain't got to worry about happening. It doesn't matter if the girl likes you. What matters is that you like the girl.
I mean, and you're going to be in a strong. You're going to be in a strong position because you're going to be. She's going to want you to babysit. So.
Well, and here's the other thing. Never let on that you like her, because then you lose something there. You lose that.
Be polite. That be grip. Polite.
Be polite. Yeah. Even if you like her, be polite. Be somewhat welcoming, but always kind of keep her on edge. Keep her where she doesn't really know where she stands.
Right. Keep her off balance.
Yeah.
It's much like a marriage, really. You know, don't ever tell your true feelings, you know?
No. No, no, no. No. Dave and I just, you know, hey, I love you. Well, why don't you fuck off? That's kind of, and I know that he loves me, and it's fine.
Do you pee on each other?
So, you know, surprisingly, no. Because, you know, that's just not a thing we do. But,
you're into trees, I guess.
I'm not as much into trees. But, again, you know, it'll all be fine. They don't need to get married. I mean, I can appreciate the fact that they think they want to. I wouldn't. I mean, there's no reason for them to get married. It's 2021. No reason for that. Live in sin.
Well,
live in sin.
You know,
that way, there's not this messy divorce and all
this
could other
be, there could thing. Be
just
love
move
involved,
out.
Dear devil. There could be love involved. And I know that whole thing's foreign to you.
But I'm not buying that.
It's a strong, powerful emotion that drives people to sometimes do irrational things. But I think that, and don't forget, again, you're blessed. It seems like a terrible thing now, or maybe not a terrible thing, but a stressful thing. But you're blessed with a new baby. And that's really
true.
Always.
And
that's, you're going to have so much joy and happiness.
Well, yeah, and you're going to have a new baby that you can give back to their parents when they start fussing.
Exactly.
So, that's all good.
So we covered that.
Well, I just want to say I would still pee on.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I know. You just want to pee on everything.
Yeah.
My God.
Well, a concerned mother, we hope.
Leanne,
that,
reach out.
We hope that the concerned mother, we've given you solid advice and that all will be well. Right? Let us know how it works out.
Yes.
Well, our next question comes in, and we'll try to handle this one. It actually came from someone who put it in public, saw a name, Jason Dykes.
Our good friend Jason Dykes.
You want to know, who, how do I get girls to like me?
Well, you pee on them, Jason. That's the first thing you do.
Everything is not peeing on people, Timmy. Everything is not peeing on people.
Jesus,
Tim. Not at first. So
it's always worked for me.
You got to get into the mind. You got to think like a woman.
What?
Don't use logic or anything like that, or foresight, or anything.
This is what we're doing.
Just
all right.
Think like a woman, okay? Now, what do women love more than anything else?
Peed on.
Two things.
No, we don't love to be peed
they
on.
Don't. First of all, women by nature are nurturers, right? It's the way I got this little tiny dog up here. Is, you know, she swore that she hated little dogs. All of a sudden, the dog needed taken care of, and he's the greatest dog in the world. See, women need to nurture. So rather than try to, and Jason, I know, you know, see, your whole thing is, you're packaged as this guy who's got his life together, who's got everything under control.
His package.
Is
you
he
know,
his package.
Smart guy. Jason, really, when you think about it, he's a whole total package. And that is not what women want. Women want a fixer-upper. Women want broken.
Yeah, they do. They do
see,
love.
See, women want to come in and save you. I mean, how you think? Look at Timmy. Look at Timmy, for Christ's sake.
Does my life mean nothing?
Right.
Timmy was
the
condemned
model for this.
Timmy was condemned 4 years
ago. If Timmy were
ago.
A house, they would have tore the son bitch down. And then all of a sudden, Leanne came in here, tools and whatever. And all of a sudden, Timmy a mansion now.
But
is he though?
Timmy's on Lifestyles of Rich and Famous.
I'm like, yeah.
Is he though?
So, yeah, I'm like on a home, because home channel. The home, whatever that thing is called.
Yeah, he's on the home channel.
No, because I feel like Leanne's sort of drawn up plans, but we haven't really started the construction on that yet.
We don't know if Leanne's going to flip him.
Leanne does not know about Cheap Trick. How can you not know Cheap Trick?
Well, she's much younger than
I
you.
I don't care. How would you go around life without knowing and listening to Cheap Trick?
Because she's much younger than you.
I don't know. She probably doesn't know. I wonder if she knows Barry Manilow. But
I don't know.
Back to Jason.
You think he was gay?
So this
you
is
think
what
Barry
women
Manilow
want.
Was gay?
Oh, he's absolutely. He says it now. He's gay. Yeah. So if he says
Knock
he's gay now, he
feather.
Was probably gay then.
Colonel, can you sing a little Mandy for us?
Mm-mm.
I remember all my life. Raining down as cold as ice.
Oh my
shadows
God.
Of a man, a face through a window crying
Jason,
in the night.
Jason, please listen to me. Please listen to me. First of all, if you want to get a girl, don't sing for her unless you have an actual decent singing voice. So please don't do that. We don't want to fix her upper. Don't listen to them. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You came and you gave without taking.
We don't want to fix her upper.
But I
you want to get a woman, take your dog
home,
for a walk.
Mandy.
Take your dog
you
to the dog park.
Me and stop me from
and
shaking.
Move out of Texas.
I'm really disappointed that I knew that much of that song.
You did know a lot. You did know a lot.
I could have gone through the whole goddamn thing.
There's a lot of good advice in that song. Because you know what really turns women on is when you're crying and shaking and they can come along.
Oh, yeah. Cry, shake. Basically be a chihuahua. Yeah. Be a helpless, shaky chihuahua, Jason. Because women then will look at you. See, your problem is you got everything so together the woman's looking at it like, oh, he ain't going to need me, and if I get him, he's just going to leave me for something better next week. No, they got to see you as, they got to see themselves as superior.
And you is broken.
Because women always got to be superior, and you is broken, and then they will swaddle you. They will swaddle
they
you.
Will,
in
okay.
their,
they will.
In
they,
fixer gotta,
they,
up in this.
First
they will
put your head
wait a minute.
To their breast. And let you suckle.
They will put your head right in their bosom.
And let you suckle.
And they will say, it's okay. They will stroke the back of your head. They'll say, okay, we can work with this. We can work with this. And then all you have to do is resist change. Continue to be broken. The more you're broken, the harder they work.
Okay.
Nothing turns
women.
Nothing turns women
so
on
stupid.
More than being pathetic.
Exactly. Be weak and pathetic. Cry.
Okay.
Cry for Christ's sake.
Okay.
Tell me you're sorry for the way
Stop.
You are. I mean, dude. I'm
Stop.
Just saying what's worked for me over the years.
No, let me tell you something. Do you guys remember, I mean, you guys remember Indianapolis, most of it, right?
Crime Con.
I
yeah,
do,
a few
yeah.
years ago. Yeah.
Yes, Crime Con. Okay. So Jason was there, which was wonderful to meet Jason. He's like one of my favorite people. So we meet him and, you know, remember they had the, they just happened to have the librarians conference
yes.
there. And Jason met
oh,
up
yeah.
with this girl.
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, he did.
Jason met up with this girl who only talked in Chicken Soup for the Soul quotes. She was ridiculous.
She
I hated her.
She was attractive.
I hated everything about her. She wasn't attractive
hot.
Enough to be doing that shit. So here's the thing, Jason. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go for those girls. You are smart. You are funny. You're a good-looking guy. Find
don't show those traits
you.
Up. Don't show those traits to anybody.
Don't
broken,
be a smart
Jason.
Ass. You can be
broken.
Smart. But take Brutus for a walk in a at a dog park or at a park or something. Take Brutus for a walk. Because as Chuck will attest, babies and dogs are chick magnets.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I had the twins, I used
borrow
to
borrow a baby
them
if
out.
You need to.
Yeah, borrow a baby. Talk about the horrific
with the permission of the parents, we might add.
Yeah, yeah, ask permission of the parents. Go. I think there's a rent a baby. You can actually do that. But
I have a 9-year-old you can rent. I have a
yeah,
9-year-old. I'll pay you to take.
Yeah, that's too
if
old.
If you can get down to those 3-year-olds.
Yeah,
years old, they're kind of losing some of that sheen. Because you know,
yeah.
they talk
no.
clear.
When they're 9-year-olds, all the woman's going to see is child support payments. But
my baby is gorgeous.
Well, he is.
Well, no. All you have to say is he's your nephew. They love that. Oh, the uncle has taken his nephew out. Find a nephew, take him out. You can borrow mine. I'll pay you. I'll fly him down to you. And you can take him wherever. He's super cute right now. He's got curls. You could talk about serial killers. You could talk about whatever you want because the child is well-versed in politics and true crime.
And the other thing you can do, Jason, go down to the dog shelter and ask if you can just foster for a day. Foster for a day and find the homeliest, smallest dog you can. Don't get one of those manly dogs like a German Shepherd Pit Bull. Get the little ugly pug or Yorkie or whatever and put a little bow in its hand, take it to the park and the women will just really, I mean, sometimes you get hit in the side of the head with underwear. It's just like
sometimes
that.
Sometimes
when the women talk to you, you know, stutter a little bit. Don't look them in the eye. Look down at your shoes. You know, just act like you're just a mess.
Or
be disheveled.
And then
women love guys who are disheveled.
Yeah, be disheveled. Really, that's the only the best advice I can give you is don't let people know you're together. Women don't like that.
Wait like 5 years. Dave will be dead, and you can come up here, and I can find my most damaged girlfriend for you, or I can take care of you because I'm a nurturer.
Well,
but I don't.
Why
really
you gotta wait
do
for
that.
Dave to be dead to do that?
Because
why
because
you gotta
Dave
even
will...
bring Dave being dead into the universe?
Well, grow a full beard too, because apparently that's something Brandy likes.
I don't know why you say that.
In all honesty, Jason, that's a lot of great advice. But if all else fails, pee on the lady because they really love that. Women really love that.
Yeah. And here's another one. Look, and Timmy found this out too. See, you know how women here in this country, they love Australian and British accents?
Yeah.
Well, British women love American accents.
They love Appalachian gibberish.
They do. So, I mean, it's a turn on to them. So we got accents. Use it. Be broken. Use your accent. Get an ugly dog. Go to the park. you're golden, Jason.
And pee on her.
Listen to the Colonel.
And pee on her.
And pee. Wait a couple dates to pee on her. Wait till she says, I want to be exclusive. When she says, okay, you know, this is how I do it. You know, this is how I was raised. This is how we do it in our neighborhood. Just whip it out and pee on her leg.
No, learn
Make
to cook.
Make sure she's got shorts on.
Or learn to cook.
Yeah, but Something the more besides skills you cheese. Gain, the less helpless you are, and the more less helpless you are, the more less appealing they find you. That's just been my experience. If they think you're possibly brain damaged, broken, and ain't nobody else going to take care
Crackhead.
Of you, that's when they really hold on
wait a
to
minute.
You.
Is yeah. that how you got Renee? Because she thinks you're brain damaged?
Well, that rule does not apply out. When you got a big package.
Doesn't apply to the Colonel. For Christ's sake,
it absolutely does.
I'm the colonel,
he wasn't always
it.
The colonel. He wasn't always the colonel, so I'm pretty sure that Renee just thought he was brain damaged, and she was only going to have to take care of him for a couple of years before he walked into traffic. So, I mean, yeah. you know, it you all with your life advice way. Is just ridiculous.
So,
no, clearly,
so hopefully we
well.
Have helped out a couple of dweebs, and again, if you need help in your life... Feel God. Free to message one of us, and we'll do it in anonymity.
But that's great.
Anonymity, yeah, anonymity, and
but
we'll get you through your crisis.
All right, so send those questions to us through Messenger, and
that was all free, by the way.
We got three.
No, I said
no,
that was free.
All that advice
oh,
was free.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So next time, if you have a question, just send it to us through Messenger, and we will address it in our next episode. Colonel, we would now like to.
Oh, shit. I got to talk some more.
Well, we want to thank all of the people who.
I don't know how you
who
could.
Have supported us on Patreon over the years. It's something that we really, really appreciate. Now, we don't always keep the list up to date, so over the past week, I went in and reviewed the list, and we now have the most current list. And if you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or a kernel.
Or just a wee little bit, Terry.
We would like to say if your name is not because we've updated the list. If your name is not on the list, it could mean a couple of things. One, that you're no longer
you're not giving.
Yeah, you're not supporting the podcast.
Said, fuck those people. They ain't worth a dime.
We still love you, but if your name is not, and you believe that you are. Still contributing to Patreon, just go to patreon.com and check it out. Because sometimes credit cards, the expiration date, you know, the card expires or whatever. Or, you know, your home is, your car is being repossessed, whatever.
Yeah.
Or if you go on and you find out, hey, I am contributing and they still didn't mention my name. Let us know, send us a message, and we'll review it to make sure that our records are correct. So, Colonel, you want to give a shout-out to all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon?
I do. At the top of the list, we got Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Then Aaron Kunkelmuller, Rachel Goss, Anna Kaufman, Shelby Pelegi, Robert Benefield, Gina Green, Andrea, Louise Sedans, Tessie, Buffy, Danielle Townsend, Marianne Wright, the Already Gone podcast, Timmy.
Our good friend Nina, who
Amber
who
Anderson
went down to Tennessee last week. This week,
she did. Ben Dobrovich, the Bloody Murder podcast, Timmy, with our good friends
Tara, Barney,
and Tara. Yeah, Bridget Bernard, the Bloody. I got that one. Cassie Kitchens, Callie Jones. Christy Lee and a Canadian true crime podcast, Timmy. Carl Asplin, Cheryl LeBlanc, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Erica Kenny, Aaron Turner, Marsha Boris, Jay Cleveland Payne, Jimmy Dent, Iroh Jason Dykes, who we just changed his life, Dr. Jeff and his lovely wife, Dawn, Jennifer Orca, Jennifer's Voter, Jess, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop, Christine Malachinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Marsha Boris, Marie, Mary Courtney Sheldon, Michelle Johns, Paula Kimes, the Context and Clarity Podcast, Sarah Bloom, Sue Van Hook, Shannon Arnold, our lovely, lovely, lovely Shirley Strap, who we're always thinking about. We miss you on the page. Stephen Potts, happy birthday to those twin girls of yours. Oh, Terry Stratford, Malachi, COVID gonna be over. He's gonna be getting back in the ring. They Walk Among Us podcast, Timmy.
Our good friend Ben, who had a birthday this past week.
Yeah.
He did.
Tyrone, Todd Long, Tommy Lane, and Tracy Smith, Timmy.
What?
All those people we like to
thank. I think I talked over when you mentioned Anna and Amber Anderson. So thank you guys for supporting the podcast. And again, if you would like to become a sponsor on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word. All right, we're going to get out of here.
All right.
Thank you all for joining us.
I'm going to go frolic in the sun, Timmy.
Well, good. I hope you, maybe you'll pee on someone when you're out there.
I always do.
All right. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.